If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 3 John chapter 2, or actually 3 John, there's only one chapter, chapter 1, and it's verse 2. That's going to be our main scripture for today. But we've been in this series, and we've been talking about the path to flourishing, and that's been the title of this series, and this has been a prophetic word that was given to us from another ministry for this year, for the year of 2017. And the prophetic word is this: the faithful, and that's the key word, the faithful, everybody say faithful, shall flourish, and it shall be like days of heaven on earth. And the word flourish means to thrive, to increase, to enlarge, to grow, to be prosperous, to abound, to spread out, to expand, to make steady progress, or to be at a high point in one's life. And if you know me, we're going to look at a lot of scripture. There's going to be 3 points in this message with a lot of subpoints. I'm going to put everything up here on the PowerPoint, and I want you to also get the CD of this message. This is going to be a big one that you need to really listen to over and over again. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Everybody say holy. And that's not H-O-L-Y, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, which means your whole being, spirit, soul, and body. And he says, "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's what we're looking at, how to flourish spirit, soul, and body. And then 3 John chapter 2 is our main scripture for this teaching today. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And that word, if you want to underline in your Bible, "just as," that means in proportion to. So how you prosper in life, whether spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, relationally, is direct, in direct proportion to how your soul is prospering. And your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. And so we're going to be talking about the prosperity of the soul today. And so you are a spirit. This is who you are. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. You're a spiritual being. You were created in the image of God, and the Bible teaches us that God is a spirit, and your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And what you're in pursuit of, when you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, what you're in pursuit of from then on, this is what you're in pursuit of. You're in pursuit of a prosperous soul. That's what God is. You're working with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit in your life to have a prosperous soul. And so I love the grace teaching that's happening today. I believe in grace. I believe in it wholeheartedly. You're not going to hear me ever come against that. I love the grace teaching. But there's a part of it where they have fallen off in the ditch a little bit. And because every truth that God brings into the body of Christ, sometimes you got to stay in the middle of the road. There's two ditches. You know, for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditches. Don't ever forget that. And so sometimes I get over into the ditch on this grace teaching thinking that we don't have nothing to do with it. We just God's grace and that's it. And, you know, I can do whatever I want. And no, God's grace is not a license to sin. I believe in God's grace, hear me out, but there are things that we have to do walking with God in this walk called faith, all right? And so we're going to learn, here's the 3 things that you must do to have a prospering soul. And this is the one, we're going to break each one of these down and look at each one of these today. But the three things that you must do, look at somebody and say, "You must do these." This is not something that Pastor Mark can come up and lay hands on you and you receive it. These are things that you have got to do. You're going to be working with the Holy Spirit in your walk with Him, in your walk with the Lord. So these are things that you've got to do to have a prospering soul. Number one is a mind that is being renewed by the Word of God. That's why I'm constantly, I know you think I'm harping on you, but I am constantly preaching at you and telling you to get into the Word. That's why I send you a daily scripture on the Harvest Time Club. That's why we have the daily devotionals. Please get those. We have lots of extra back there in the back. Give them to your family, give them to people that don't even come to church here, coworkers, whatever, your place of business, get the word out about that. But the mind is a mind that is being renewed by the Word of God, so you got to get in the Word of God and have a daily habit of doing that because that's where you're feeding your spirit man. And then number two is a will that is being conformed to the will of God. So you have a will and you have a free will. And we've got to make choices. That's where you make your choices and decisions to follow God in whatever he's telling you to do. And he gives you a free will to do that. And then number three is emotions and feelings that are under the control of the Word of God. Too many Christians are not under the control of the Word of God. They're under control of their feelings and their emotions. And so they're carried around by every wind of doctrine. They get offended. They quit this church. They go to another church. Just emotions and feelings all the time. And you can't be led by that. You got to be led by the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, I'm preaching to myself here, a mature soul is someone who is very hard to be offended. That's a mature soul. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. So that's when you know that you're starting to mature, is when you can look at somebody and they're hurling insults at you, or saying all kinds of things about you and blah, 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 or they're doing it behind your back, and you can still love them in the love of Jesus. Notice I said the love of Jesus. but you can still love them anyway. Okay, so we're going to break each one of these down. And I know some of you are taking notes, and I might be going a little bit too fast, so please get the CD. You know, if you can just make a dollar or two donation to help us cover our CD costs, that'd be awesome. But Carrie can make you a copy after the service. But number one is a mind that is being renewed by the Word of God. And we're going to look at each one of these scriptures, Romans 12:2, Proverbs 23:7, and 2 Corinthians 10:5. And I'm going to read them out of different translations because I like studying all kinds of translations of the Bible and the one that I feel like, you know, that you need to hear and speaks to us. But I love the Message Bible. That's a great reading Bible. Romans 12:2, it says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." And so that's what renewing the mind does. It takes you from immaturity to maturity. And it's like the best word I can describe this as is metamorphosis, which is where a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. And I looked this up, the definition of that big long word, metamorphosis, is a change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. And it's the process of transformation from an immature form to an adult form. And we want, you know, one of my greatest desires for myself and for you guys being a pastor is I want to be growing in the Lord all the time. And I want you guys to be growing in the Lord all the time. God doesn't want us just to get saved and just hang on until he comes back or until we go home. He wants us to be growing, ever growing. And then Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Your life, and then you might want to write this quote down, your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Your life will always go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. So we want to get our mind renewed to the Word of God. And I'm going to teach you one thing how to do that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." That's the part you've got to play. You're going to be bombarded by thoughts all the time, but you're going to have to take control of those thoughts and cast them down when it's not a godly thought and get it out of there. Got to do whatever you got to do. And so look down at the bottom, that quote, "The kingdom you believe you have within you will be the kingdom you reproduce around you." I believe I have the kingdom of God within me. And I've got to constantly be renewing my mind. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within us when you accept him as your Lord and Savior. But I'm constantly renewing my mind to the Word of God because I want the kingdom of God to be reproduced around me. And I want to be able to come into a room, to an atmosphere, and change the atmosphere because the kingdom of God is within me and not be influenced by the world. This thing where we're constantly running around thinking I'm going to be influenced. Yeah, there's wisdom in some of that, but we've got to start maturing where we've got the kingdom of God within us and we can start affecting things around us and reproducing Christ in the world. So this mind renewal process, and I could go on all day about this because it's a process and you got to get in the process and stay in the process. And how you do that is become fully aware of how you think. Some people are given to think more positive than others. So if you're a negative Nelly, you're going to have to work extra hard. I mean, some of us have to work extra hard in this area to renew our mind. And if you can constantly just go to the negative, you got to become fully aware of how you think, not how somebody else thinks, but how you think, because what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. So start listening to what comes out of your mouth. If you have a lot of negative self-talk and negative talk about other people and things around you, then that's what's in your heart. So you got to renew your mind to the Word of God. The second thing is your thoughts must line up and agree with God's thoughts. And God's thoughts are His Word. So that's why you got to get in the Word. Then, here's the deal. There's a whole culture today that we live in that does not believe that God's Word is final authority. But we know better than that. It's the absolute final authority. So let God's Word be final authority in every matter. And then practice thinking God's thoughts, which is God's Word, until they become your thoughts. That's how you do it. That's the mind renewal process. Everybody got that? That's the mind part. Here's the second part, the will. And a will that is being conformed, everybody say conformed, to the will of God. And those are the scriptures that we're going to look at. But the word conformed is comply with and yield to what God says and what God wants. A lot of us run around, and I'm talking about myself, and we're self-willed. And then we try to make God come into our will. God, this is how I think it ought to be done. So you come in here and do this. Got to flip the script, and we got to say, God, I'm submitted to your will, whatever it is for my life. Show me what it is that you want. And Jesus is our example of doing this. He came to this earth. He came just as a man, just like we are. He had to make decisions in his will. And in John chapter 8, verses 28 through 29, it says this about Jesus. It says, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. He said, I only do my Father's will. In verse 29, he says, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. And He's saying, I am in the perfect will of God. I don't care what you do to me. God's going to see this through because I'm in the perfect will of God. I'm His Son. And God wants us to walk around like that too. In Matthew 26, verse 39, this is where Jesus is praying before He went to the cross. And we can see where He was struggling because He was fully human yet fully God. And He says this, He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. That's a big word you're going to learn today. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, I submit it to your will. And then, this is another scripture that Jesus is saying to us today. This is in Luke 6, verse 46. Jesus says, but why do you, and He's talking to His disciples and to us, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? And I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive me, because I've been there. And your will is where choices and decisions are made, and you have a free will. That's the thing that separates us from the angels and everything else out there, is you have a free will. One more scripture here. Actually, two more under the will. But Ephesians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so I've had lots of people ask me, Pastor Mark, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. And well, I don't know either. And but I do know some things that you need to do that you'll help you find the will of God for your life. And so I was looking up, I went through the whole New Testament, and I was looking at places where it said the will of God, the will of the Lord, to find out on a generic for all of us as Christians here today, what is the will of God for us? And here's the will of God. So there's three things that you can write down on this point. If you've been wanting to know what the will of God is for your life, I can't tell you specifically, but I can tell you that if you'll do these three things, then the specific will of God will come forth, whatever you're looking for, whatever you've been praying about. God, what's your will for this or this? But here's God's will for you. Your sanctification. That's huge. And I'm going to tell you what your sanctification is. Sanctification is really means set apart. And I'm going to try to explain this in a just real simple terms. But your sanctification is both positional and progressive. Now, let me explain that. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spirit, soul, and body, right? Everybody got that? You're three and one, okay? Your spirit, as soon as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spirit becomes renewed. Your spirit is born again. You are a child of God. You're heaven bound, and you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, okay? So that's the position that you are. You're a child. You're a son or daughter of the Most High God. The second thing is about your sanctification, though, is your walk with God for the rest of your life is the progressive part of it, the sanctification. And so that's where the Holy Spirit is working with you. You're submitting to the will of God. You're submitting to God. You're submitting to His will, and God's the Holy Spirit's working in you, and that sanctification process is going on. So it's positional and it's progressive. Look at somebody say it's positional and it's progressive. All right, so that's sanctification. How that happens is by you being in church, being with other believers, fellowshipping with other people. It's by you getting the Word of God on your own, your prayer time, your quiet time, your time with the Lord. That's your sanctification. The next thing that God's will for you to do is this, is to do good. And that means is to do good to others, and especially those of the household of faith. I've looked these up in the New Testament. Everybody can do these things. Your sanctification, and to do good to others. And the other thing is the will of God for you is to give thanks in all circumstances. And those three. And guys, if you'll start working on those three, that's the generic will of God for you, then the specific will of God for you will show up. And that's what will happen. So let me break this down, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit, the time you get saved, it's been justified. You're saved. Your soul is where the sanctification is going on, and it's positional and progressive, meaning you're constantly working on your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then one day our body is going to be glorified, and we're going to have a new body. And everybody said, amen. Can't wait for that day. And so as I was looking this up, because I'm talking about the generic will of God, then I wanted to look at the specific will of God. And I started noticing where the Apostle Paul, in a lot of his letters to the New Testament church, he said, Paul, an apostle by the will of God. An apostle by the will of God, meaning that God called him into that office. And I can tell you that, I'm just going to tell off on myself, because the only way I know how to teach God's word is just be transparent with you about things that go on in my own life. I know that I had an encounter with the Lord back in 93, where God called me to be a pastor and to be a shepherd. And I'm going to tell off on myself today that I have not always submitted to that, that I have kicked against that sometimes. Like, God, did you really call me? God, I'd rather be an usher. God, I would rather be in the sound booth. God, I mean, that was kind of where I was at. I was just, running from it, basically. And God kept tapping on me, no, I've called you into this office, Mark, to stand as a shepherd and a pastor before my people. And I'd feel the weight of that. And I'm like, God, why me? You don't want me. I can't do this. I'd rather do something else. And it just kept coming. And I knew that God was calling me to do this. And God used a scripture, and this is where the name of our church comes from. Some of you know this story and some of you don't. But in Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to tell you guys, there's been several times, even here recently, where I've had to go back and read this and remember that encounter that I had with God back in 1993, and God's telling me, Mark, stay faithful to the will of God for your life. Amen. And so Matthew 9, verse 36 through 38 is what God used to call me and then show me his specific will. I was already doing those three things. And then he used this scripture, and this is amazing. I look back at the wisdom of God. He used, at this time, I was living in Elk City, wasn't even thinking about Leedy, my hometown, but God used a little lady from Leedy to give me, that's a mouthful, a little lady from Leedy, to give me this scripture, because I was already praying, God, what is your specific will? And God had this little lady come up to me before church service and said, Mark, you and Jade have just been on my heart, and I've been praying for you, and I want to give you this because I feel like God's going to speak to you through it. And so this is what it was. Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38, and this is Jesus talking. And I swear, the first time I read this in 1993, it was like Jesus himself was sitting across from me speaking this to me. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to my heart, Mark, I'm calling you to be a shepherd, and I'm calling you to be a pastor. And I was like, no way, Jesus. You know, and I'm telling you, I struggled with it. And I'm not, I wish I could say I submitted to it and said, yes, Lord, I want to be a pastor and let it be unto me according to your word. I wish I was like Mary, but I wasn't. I fought against it. And I didn't think that I heard God right. And I thought that I had too much bad food the night before or something like that. But God did. And so this is what I want to tell you. And I'm telling you that often from my own life. But knowing the will of God and submitting to it and doing it are two different things. Two totally different things. And I'm going to show you somebody else who I think was as strong-willed as I am. And that's Peter in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And this is when the Lord was calling him, because Peter was a fisherman. And it says this, and they already had heard about Jesus. I'll give you the kind of background of the story. They knew about Jesus, knew he was a good teacher, didn't really know, you know, just knew some of the things that were happening. And then one day, Jesus shows up and gets in his boat. And so let's read this. It says, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So they've already been out fishing. They're up on the shore washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's or Peter's, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So he was using the boat as his pulpit, and he was teaching from it. And, of course, Peter was sitting there listening to him because he's like, okay, this guy's told me I should be up here washing my nets, but I'm listening to this dude teach everybody. And so he's sitting there, just trying to get you in this story, seeing Peter sitting there in his boat listening to Jesus. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Peter, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Peter answered, because Peter's this expert fisherman, and he knows the waters of this lake. And he said to him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have caught nothing. Now, here's that word again, nevertheless. Remember, Jesus said that, nevertheless. Look at somebody say, nevertheless. Nevertheless, Peter was a smart man. At your word, I will go, and we'll launch out into the deep, and we'll let down our net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So it pays off to listen to Jesus and to submit to his will. And so there you have a little story from Peter about what he did. Okay, here's number three. Emotions and feelings under the control of the word of God. You've got to have your emotions and feelings under the control of the word of God. Emotions and feelings are fickle. You cannot trust them. And I can prove this. How many of you in here have had buyer's remorse? Yeah, I have, many a time. Your grandma and grandpa had wisdom when they told you, you need to sleep on it. Before you make a big purchase or buy anything, you need to sleep on it and make sure this is really what, because everything looks shiny and, you know, all the, when we're looking through our five physical senses, and then we realize, man, we really didn't need that, and now we're in debt, and now, you know, I've got this many payments to pay for that barbecue grill I've got up back on my patio, you know, and so... So you can't allow your five physical senses to lead or control you when it comes to faith. And your five physical senses are seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, and tasting. Yes, God gave us our five physical senses. Yes, God gave us a brain to use it. But there's a scripture in Proverbs 3, verse 5 that says, trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. Sometimes this faith walk is your sixth sense. And when you're walking by faith, you can't always go by your five physical senses or you're going to end up in a ditch somewhere. And so 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith doesn't follow feelings. Feelings follow faith. You've heard that said before. And then I love this story. I'm picking on Peter in the Bible because this is something that Matthew 14, verses 28 through 31 It says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if this is about him walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw, there it is, his five physical senses kicked in, that the wind was boisterous, He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And I want you to notice that before he saw, he was walking by faith, and this man was walking on water. That is powerful. And so when you're walking by faith, you can supersede the laws of nature. Think about that. Verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I really believe that there's a whole nother realm that is accessible to us if we will learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. I really believe that. And it takes training. Faith is a muscle that you have to train. And you train it. Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to get in the word of God and the atmosphere of the word to have your faith built up. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I'm going to explain that to you because I know that was like, what in the world? That sounded like a riddle, I know. But let me explain that. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, I am not moved by what I see, what I hear, or what I feel. I'm moved by the word of God. And if you know anything about Smith Wigglesworth, he was an uneducated plumber and got into the word of God. His wife actually taught him how to read and write with the word of God. That's all he knew was the word of God. And more miracles happened in this guy's ministry than you can shake a stick at. And it's because he said, I'm not moved by what I see, what I hear, or what I feel. I'm moved by the word of God. And here's the 2 Corinthians 4:18. Here's what that means. Things that are seen are subject to change. If you can see it, it's not permanent. It's temporary. It's subject to change. Think about that. If things that are seen are subject to change, if you can see it, guys, if you can see it with your natural eyes, whatever you're seeing and the enemy is lying to you and saying this situation, this circumstance is never going to change. This is the way it's going to be. If you can see it, it can change. It can change by the power of God. Things that are seen are subject to change. And everybody said amen. Has everybody got your soul prospering? Is everybody awake? Okay, good. So those are the three things that I want you to, and I encourage you to get the CD because I know I shared a lot of scripture with you today and everything. But the three things that you must do to have a prospering soul is a mind that is being renewed by the word of God, a will that is being conformed to the will of God, and emotions and feelings that are under the control of the word of God. And when you start doing those things, you'll start having a prosperous soul. Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I do this every Sunday that we're here together because I don't know the spiritual condition of everyone here or even those that are listening by church's aid or even those that are listening this by radio. But I always want to make sure that everybody in here and everybody listening knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And how you do that, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in a prayer, and this is a prayer, what I call a prayer of salvation, a prayer of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer after them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Now, I encourage you the very next step that you need to do is to follow the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that next Sunday. And we've baptized several this month already. And if you've never done that, maybe you're here today and you're an adult and you said, Maybe you did it when you was a child and you want to do it again. We can do that. I've done that many times. Or, you know, maybe you're an adult and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've never been water baptized. And I can tell you, as we're talking about the path to flourishing, is the next step of obedience that you need to do is to follow the Lord in water baptism. And with that, I want to speak a blessing over you. So I want everyone to stand up in here today. And I'm going to speak this blessing over you. And as I'm speaking this blessing, I'm going to walk back to the back because I want to shake everybody's hand before you leave here today. And guys, I want us to flourish, spirit, soul, body, every area of life. And next week, we're going to be talking about how to flourish in your body physically. And so we're going to talk, because God wants us to walk around in divine health. And everybody said, amen. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday. But here's, I want to pray this over you. Father, I want to pray your word over your people today, that they're going to leave out of here today with their soul prospering. God, and I pray 3 John verse 2 over every one of us here today. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And that means in direct proportion to how our soul is prospering. And so, God, we thank you that our mind, our will, and our emotions are prospering today. And Lord, I also want to speak the high priestly blessing over everyone here today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have an awesome week. Love you guys.